In the early 21st century, magic reawakened on Earth, and alongside it, a new human race of orcs, elves, trolls, dwarves, and others. Humanity became meta-humanity. Technology proliferated and greatly advanced in the awakened world as global megacorporations seized ever more power, becoming de facto states with their own laws, courts, and armed forces. The corporations attempt to control all aspects of modern life. This has led to a vast and complex criminal underground which works for and against corporate interests. The independent career criminals who do what others can't or won't are called Shadowrunners. The year is 2102. Welcome to Fun City.
Previously on Fun City, the team learns the gun which started the riot at the Chaz and the many profiles funding renegade NYPD gang The Last Line are filled with the same junk data, randomly generated by a rare and only theoretically possible isotope of orichalcum, which they suspect is made by scrapyard dark mage Jast Columnar. If they can track down this ore, maybe they'll learn who triggered the riot, which led to Knight Errant winning the city policing contract, and why. Erstwhile Johnson Yuri says Lomasar Naev may have answers, but Loma tries to kill the team with the help of floating crown aficionado Nek Varma. The team bests Loma and survives Nek, though Gabe is grievously wounded and Doc wagoned off to Evo. Battered and bruised, they head for a safe haven, Connecticut, where Lash's parents live. En route, Viv peruses Loma's ledger and learns Jast has been doing quite a bit of orichalcum R&D, storing the results in books made by Loma. They have to get into Jast and get those tomes, but it won't be easy. We join the team now at Lash's parents' house, healing, regrouping, and plotting their return to the floating junkyard in Sheepshead Bay. And so I was telling your mother that that is why the podiatrist said that it probably wasn't gout.
No, it wasn't the podiatrist that said that. It was my dietitian. You never tell stories right.
It was not.
Dad,
no, because it
no
was the guy. No,
just last.
Just hold on. It's very important that we get this right. No, because it was the guy with the glasses.
That's my nutritionist, Clarence.
Wait, is that Clarence?
Yes! Clarence, the nutritionist, whose sister you met?
Well, either way, whoever it was.
At my birthday party?
They said that it was
She gave me this? And Lash's mom reaches back and pulls off one of the orcs, two goblins having sex figurines off her figurine collection.
Oh. I must know about your health insurance. I don't know how you have so many care providers.
Me either. I think it was a clerical error. I've just always been lucky.
Well, my daughter.
I mean, when this started up, I went to the PT, I went to the dietitian, I went to the nutritionist, I went to a dermatologist.
He did. Your dad was good. Your dad was a good boy.
I went to the rheumatologist. It was like going to doctors was my full-time job.
Wait a minute. You both are not going to an Evo Health Center, are you?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
I don't think they have any locations up here.
I can't keep track of who owns what anymore. Who wants more Diet Sprite?
Lux raises his hand. So does TK.
I love driving the car, but it's just, who wants to go 45 minutes to an hour for the doctor? It's insane.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk in the car. We've said everything.
Traffic. Shelly, right? I mean, we were just talking about this. The traffic.
Guys, you have to not talk over each other. One at a time.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us what you've been
Lash,
up to.
Lash, we've talked about this, and we're not talking over each other.
We're not talking over each other.
We're talking with one another.
We're talking with... When you've been in love as long as we have, and it's love... I'm sorry. Does this gross you out?
Yes. Oh, they're too sweet. They're so sweet. God.
Shelly is in the middle of what can only be described as her mid-century Tuscan kitchen.
Which we should say is hip again.
Yes, nice. It's come back around. In the house that Lash grew up in suburban Connecticut, there is an island in the middle of the kitchen with a stone countertop, full glasses of Sprite, apparently.
And flickering holograms of grapes overflowing in cornucopias and fall foliage.
And Shelly is wearing high heels, and she is towering over Lash's dad, Tuck, who is a tiny man wearing glasses. He's got fluffy blonde hair. And you all have joined them for the afternoon for lunch.
So what kind of supplements are you taking? You look amazing.
Ev, why would you egg them on?
I'm sorry, I'm actually interested. I'm much older, you know.
Listen to me. One word. Zinc.
Zinc. Okay. Earth element. I don't know. All right.
Tuck opens up a drawer in the kitchen, and you see just rows and rows and rows of pill bottles face up in what looks like color coding by bottle type. And he gestures over them like he's Vanna White. And he says, it takes an army.
Wow, I wish my gems were as organized as this.
Oh, I'll send you here. Give me your comm code and I'll send you the organizer that I use. It's very easy. They send it in these little strips and you measure out the length of your drawer and you cut it and you put it in. It's very nice. It just, you know, an organized home is a happy home.
As excited as Viv could look, she, you know, obliges and is looking through the drawer.
And make yourself at home. Look through all the drawers if you want to. Lash never comes home to visit us. So when she does, her friends are welcome to make themselves a la commode.
I told you I was coming home for Easter, but you guys were on vacation.
Sweetie, that's in 6 months ago. Well, we had to go to the countryside to get inspiration for your mother's new kitchen.
This is Portland style.
Wow.
All the kitchens in Portland, Maine are like this.
Hmm. I've spent some time there. Yeah.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's really cool. Is this a Tuscan sandwich here as well? I notice it's really thin.
Tuscan Portland style.
Oh, okay. It's delicious.
We have a panini machine that you put it in there and it squeezes the sandwich with 400 pounds. And it comes out the thickness of a microchip.
Lash is like shaking. Well, Mom and Dad, my friends here and I, we actually have to talk about something for work, you know, that actually has some clearance for us to talk about. So we can't really talk about it in front of you two.
Oh,
so
you guys wouldn't mind. You want to go to the office? I know when you were a kid, I told you that you weren't allowed in there. But now, Lash, that you are a grown adult, I know that you know how to behave and be responsible.
Yes.
So if you and your friends would like to talk about your business, and he says this just in the most condescending way.
Lash told us about what you're all doing for the Committee of Orc Affairs, and we just think it's so wonderful and so beautiful, and that nice man is writing a book about you and all the awards that you have won.
Yep.
Right.
And I sent you guys that webpage that they set up.
I can't open PDFs.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go use the office. We'll just be a moment, okay? Okay?
Tuck walks down the main hallway of the main floor of Lash's childhood home towards the garage where he parks his giant truck, turns into a room, and in that room, there is no furniture. There is no rug. There isn't a window. But on the floor, there is what looks like a metal hatchway. And he takes a key card out of his pocket. He passes it by a keycard reader on the wall near the entryway, and it pops open. It unfolds, and it slowly reveals a door that you can open. And he opens it for you, and you see stairs that go down into a blue, dimly lit room.
You can see the top of a second fridge just for drinks, and also an nice, unopened sandwich panini press. That's exactly like the one that's in the kitchen.
You're gonna have extra.
Yeah, just in case.
Lux walks over a few steps. They had actually started this conversation before Lux's parents came in with all the lunch and Diet Sprite and everything. And so they pretty much stopped the conversation as soon as it started. But he had been laying out some of the figurines, some of Shelly's figurines that she collects to do a small recreation of Jast as they talk and plan about how to enter. So he picks up the cardboard that all these figurines are on and follows Tuck down with a little bit of difficulty, but he gets it down there.
Be careful, handsome. Okay, you have fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mrs. Goodbug.
Tuck goes down the stairs and leads you all into, quote unquote, the office. And as you go down, you notice that all of your comms, your signal blinks off. You appear to have entered a Faraday cage. And he turns around to Lash and he says, "Now, sweetie, I know this makes you a little uncomfortable. I'm sorry, but you know, work requires that we, you know, we have high security measures." And he taps on his comm in his pocket and the room lights up and this is just an immaculate server room, basically. It's like a 10-foot by 10-foot room with a desk that rings the entire perimeter and a 3-stack wide set of monitors, one by one by one by one. So there's just a stack of 3 monitors, a stack of 3 monitors, a stack of 3 monitors, easily dozens of computer screens in here. And towards the back, when you get in, a tall, tall rack of humming servers. And like Taylor said, Creature Comforts. Small mini fridge with a small grill on top of it. Pictures of Lash's mom, Shelly, where there is bare wall space. Pictures of Lash as a small orc in frames on the desk every once in a while. And one rolly chair that looks like it is maybe 40 years old.
Lots, stacks of documents and manila envelopes everywhere.
Wow.
It is not at all clear what Tuck does, but it is clear that he does a lot of it. It costs a lot of money, and he's probably very good at it. He says, "Okay, you use whatever you need. Just, you know, be safe, make good decisions, and can't wait to hear what you guys get up to with the council. Okay, you kids have fun."
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Mr. Tuck.
Oh, that 5th glass of Diet Sprite was not a good idea.
Who does he work for? And Viv is looking around the room.
He's a car salesman.
Huh. What? Are you sure?
I never questioned it.
Now's probably not the time to start.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess he does have a giant truck that he drives.
Yeah,
that's feasible. That anyway, where were we? Jast, that's right. Look, we don't know where Gabe is. We're gonna have to wait till he contacts us. I think the only thing that I could think we could do is to get into Jast and find proof of the transactions between Jast and the people who obviously planned and executed everything that happened at the Chaz. So, and Lux looks down at the board of figurines. This is Jast. We've got standard security. We know that. This is where Balto is usually stationed. We can maybe talk to Balto, see if he's working. We've got a giant hell dog. He actually has a large goblin figurine that looks more like a dog, goblin dog. We've got Jast himself. Though he doesn't have a giant pistol, he is still a very dangerous man. And then I'm pretty sure down here, and Lux points to the hell pit that they didn't enter, is where some of the more important items for Jast, including maybe the documents we seek, would be and most likely reside. demons and demonic forces. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Nope. That sounds about correct. And TK is raiding the mini fridge. Can I get a drink check? What's in there? Anything good?
It's just Sprite.
Okay.
Was it Diet Sprite or regular?
Yeah.
Diet.
Okay. But,
it's all Diet Sprite.
Yeah. I like Diet Sprite. Stuff.
So we know the outside of Jast. We've seen it.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to get around, but there are lots of walkways and stairwells and things like that.
Catwalks and all kinds of stuff, yeah.
So what we're missing is the rest of the facility, right?
Yes, everything inside the facility. Now, my first thought, of course, getting in is it would be great to go in as Loma. And Lux points to the suit that he's already wearing.
I could go in as Loma. However, I think I sounded more Japanese there than
All right, good.
Yeah. But, of course, the big problem there is Nek is still alive. If Nek has communicated with Jast at all, then Jast knows Loma's dead. And as soon as I show up as Loma to inquire about the book that I sold him or anything else, I think he turns me into a dog or a mute cat or something. I don't know. Or just kills me. So I think going as Loma is right out. Any other ideas on how to get in?
I think I have an idea. And we smash cut to the backyard. And what's it look like out there?
Big. Their backyard is large, and it's fenced in with an unfinished picket fence that's very tall, like 8 or 9 feet. There is an in-ground, a kidney-shaped pool that has a green safety cover over it. And there is a single lime tree that is planted off to the left. Lash planted it there in middle school. It has not ever fruited, but it is otherwise healthy. But it is the winter, so there is nothing currently growing on it. It is bare.
And there is patio furniture, but it's got, like, gray water on it.
Lash, can you help me get this cover off?
Sure.
And they're, you know, moving the pool cover off with great effort. And it, maybe only halfway off the pool, because she doesn't really need much. Viv kneels by the side of the pool and touches the water and says, I apologize for using chlorinated water. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
There's lots of other chemicals in there, too. I don't know where they get their pool mix from.
Yeah, she's got her eyes closed. She goes, not now, Lash.
Hey.
Don't interrupt me when I'm summoning. And Viv puts both hands on the water and is going to summon a spirit using her spirit focus and everything she's got to summon a Portuguese man-o-war out of the pool. With a spirit focus, Viv is rolling 18d6 to summon a force 6 spirit. So you are going to roll for the spirit, which is 6. Okay, we got 7 hits.
You have successfully summoned a spirit for 3 services.
And I get a +1 for spirit affinity. All right, I've got 4 services for a Portuguese man of war, 4-6 spirit, named Gustavo. Out of the water, you start to hear, like, the melody of a stringed fado, which is a Portuguese folk song. It's like harsh guitar, sounds like lamenting and loneliness arising out of the water. And Gustavo is about, like, 3 feet wide, and he's only shimmery because he's not fully materialized. And he's wearing, like, a pork pie hat also.
Greetings, Gustavo.
Hey, how you doing there?
Hi, Gustavo. How are you?
Hello.
Where have you been? Around? Have you been traveling?
Well, you know, I've been here, there, and everywhere. Just kind of hanging around, sort of in the ocean, all over the ocean. Spirited jellyfish with Saudi Sargasso a few weeks ago. It was lovely.
Nice. Well, I have something for you to do.
Oh, good. You know, I want to be useful.
I need you to do some reconnaissance.
Ooh, fancy. I don't get reconnaissance very often. Elucidate.
I know, you're usually in entanglement and binding, but I need you for this one.
who you want me to spy on?
Well, we're spying on Jast Columnar.
Yeah, and you feel like a thump in your spirit as the intent of your order transmits magically into Gustavo.
Oh, okay.
I need you to go into Jast Reclamation as stealthily as possible, and you need to get into their secret facility downstairs.
All right.
You need to give me a layout. I need to know who is patrolling, how many rooms are down there, and if you can capture any images of people, we can do more research on our end.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I got my point and click over here. used it for my kid's birthday party last week.
Also, if you happen to see any alternate ways in, so we don't have to go through the front gate this time,
that would be
helpful.
Who the fuck is this guy?
I'm sorry, Gustavo. Gustavo, Lux, nice to meet you.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You didn't summon me.
I'm sorry.
This is a sacred ritual for me, Lux.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God, Lux.
I'm going to go get some Sprite. Anybody need any Sprite?
Yeah, I'd take a Sprite. I'd take a Sprite,
I'll get
please.
You one, Gustavo. And he leaves to get Sprite.
All right, we need layout. We need, you know, a route. In and out.
I will do. And you see his tentacles rise up and sort of salute off his jellyfish dome. My best, boss.
And Viv bows, you know, as in dismissal.
Gustavo out!
As he says it, it sort of echoes into reverb away as he as he spins and sort of vanishes into the ether. And we see Gustavo appears, boom, on the beach, sort of at the end of the lower structure beneath the superstructure of Manhattan, looking out over the bay. He scans the horizon, and he knows magically that's the direction of Jast Columnar, and he begins to float out of the water, and then he sinks down, not leaving a single, nary a ripple or a drop or a slurp. And then we see him rise, Apocalypse Now-like, like a sort of semi-translucent Martin Sheen with no eyes coming up out of the sea.
With the pork pie hat first.
Yes. Mohawk erect. And in the reverse shot, we see over his dome, Jast. We see we've been there before and we're back here again, baby. Oh, there's a guard. Gustavo quickly hides behind a steel beam, holding up one of the fences, and makes his body very slender and tall to hide behind the beam. They pass, and he just floats spirit-like through the chain link fence. East, west, north, south, a lot of options, and he'll explore them all.
Gustavo puffs away, and he is now in New York, casing Jast. You all are still in Connecticut. What do you want to do while Gustavo does his reconnaissance?
Smash cut, we're back to the basement. Lash is kind of switching out some of the fig greens because she didn't really think that they necessarily encaptured the like ethos of each of the characters in the Jast story. TK, you should ask my dad about a new car now that Henley's gone.
Don't remind me. I mean, yeah, I should, but I'm still, you know,
in mourning.
Grieving.
Yeah.
But we're here and, you know, I know we don't have time. Where is he? Is he in the office? Is he in the backyard? Is he in his room? Where?
Let me check. And Lash remembers that she's in a Faraday room and she can't check her, like, GPS. I don't know, but he's normally out in the garage with his car, so probably there.
All right, I'm gonna go take a trip of my own. I'll go see Tuck.
You walk upstairs and you go maybe 3 feet in the hallway of Lash's childhood home into the garage. You can hear the clinking and the tinkering. Lash was exactly right. Tuck is in the garage working on his massive SUV. You open the door. It creaks loudly, announcing your presence. And he, like you've summoned him, slides out on a wheelie board from underneath the car. He's a small guy. He looks absolutely tiny coming out from underneath the massive thing that he drives. It's just his head, head first. And he says, oh, hey, TK, what can I do for you? What, you need something? You guys run out of Sprite?
Oh, no. The Sprite's good. We actually have been very much enjoying the Sprite. You wouldn't happen to have any full flavor Sprite? somewhere? Not even a stash?
My nutritionist, cardiologist, even the rheumatologist, actually, they said that much sugar is just really, it's not good for the joints. It's not good for the blood. It's not, you know, it's like the blood is, you know, it's like the water for the plant that is the body. You got bad blood. You got bad a lot of things. So, yeah, we don't have a lot.
TK winks at him and says, okay. But yeah, I had another question for you, which is,
he's standing up, he's now out from underneath the car and, you're looking at him.
This is kind of a nice vehicle here.
Yeah.
Where did you get it? And, cause I'm newly in the market for a vehicle myself.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got this through work. It's you know, it's a company car. So you know, through the work that I do, they you know, I get to drive some of the latest models, and he pats it, you know, with an open palm, and it makes this really dull big thud. He's like, yeah, I get to drive some of the late models. It's nice, it's fun.
You have any idea where I could get one of these?
Oh, he gets kind of a confused look on his face. And he gets like sort of serious in a way that you haven't seen him get. And he's like, yeah, from from the dealership.
Your dealership.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Mike's family's coming out. I can see.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Tell you what. Here's what we'll do. I'll get you one. You need a car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that?
Give me a few hours. Yeah.
Okay.
He brightens up again. His eyes get big. He starts to smile and he goes, yeah, we got a fleet in at work. You know, we got some loaners and I bet I could arrange it so that, you know, one of them is just out on extended loan. That's what we'll call it. We'll call it an extended loan.
Okay. I can work with that.
Great. It'll be here by the end of the day.
All right. Well, thank you, Tuck.
So, I mean, the stock model has an electric motor, and it's good enough to 7 feet of water. It's got bulletproof windows and doors, it's got a permanent four-wheel drive. Do you need any other upgrades? I mean, you know, there's a big selection of packages. It's one of the things I like about this model, actually. You see, it's very modular. It's a very modular design. Hey,
would you say it's more of a platform than a vehicle?
I was actually going to say exactly that. You took the words out of my mouth. You know, I like you guys a lot. Lash is really good taste in friends. And, you know, Shelly and I, we talk a lot about how, you know, when you like someone, you should tell them. And so I just want to say, TK, I like you guys.
Well, thank you, Tucker. That means a lot. It really does. Especially, you know, this is a big favor. We'll have to figure out how to repay you.
We'll figure that out.
Okay, that sounds ominous. I won't think about it right now. But, Tuck, I'm going to be honest with you. The situation that we find ourselves in requires quite a bit of upgrades, I think. I would think.
For the work you're doing with the Orcish Council.
Yes, yes. For starters, we're going to need a better water rating than 7 feet. You know, maybe 100 feet, 300 feet.
Fully submersible.
Yes.
Okay. That's doable.
And, you know, I love an electric motor. I also, you know, I would love, you know, maybe like a backup generator that we could power with perhaps some old school oil products.
You see, that's a no can do. The regulations make it so that you can't install that kind of thing anymore. And also, it's just too heavy. So, you know, even if you could, even if you did a hack job to it, it's either submersible or gas engine. It's not both.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take the submersible is more important anyway. Just the sort of usual, you know, maybe extra bulletproofing around the windows.
Here, tell you what, I'll send you the catalog, and you get a comm code request, and you just tell me what you need, and I will ask the boys to install whatever they have in stock. Just, you know, try to keep it reasonable.
You know, Tuck, I'm going to ask you for exactly what I need and nothing more.
I like you.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be doing some kind of business with you.
Back in the basement.
So he said he could just get that for you today?
Yeah, I don't... Lash, I don't think your dad does what you think he does.
How else would he be able to get a car in one day unless he sold them? And all his cousins sell cars.
Lash, you should be right, but I think that you there gets to be a point where you get a car so fast that you can't be an auto dealer.
Yeah.
Or you're just really good at your job.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but a permanent loan? Like, I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. It was very ominous. It did sound like we were going to have to pay a lot and maybe not money for it.
Viv is looking around the room. If he's just a car dealer, what does he need all this for? Why are we in a Faraday cage, Lash?
We're streaming. Anyway.
Yeah. And then Lux says, no, not another word about the subject.
Yep. The world moves on. We will not be exploring Tuck any further.
I'm wondering now if our friend Balto is still working at JAST. And so Lux calls Balto. Balto Cuddle.
You call Balto, it's ringing, and the line picks up, it clicks on, and there's a bunch of, like, fumbling noises. And finally, it calms down, and you hear him, he goes, hey, I'm in the middle of something right now, what do you need?
Balto, you still work at JAST?
What? No.
No?
I'm doing a show right now. If you want to talk, you gotta come over here.
Okay, yeah, I'm on my way. Where's the show?
I'm at home.
Oh, you're doing a show at home? I'll head over there.
Hey, guys. Thanks for joining Balto's podcast, live stream.
Oh, no.
I gotta go. I just hit live. Okay, come by. Bye.
All right. Guys, I'm going to go do a podcast, maybe.
What?
I don't know. They haven't done them in a while. And Lux goes...
We're still puzzled and have no idea what you're talking about.
What is the rideshare situation, Mike, with Giddings places?
It has to be a jet ski. It has to be a jet ski.
What's the jet ski share situation?
I mean, everything is autonomous. So, you know, you can just order a driverless car and it will come to you.
Okay, I'm going to order a driverless jet ski and hopefully get there in a reasonable amount of time.
Okay.
Although we're all the way in Connecticut right now, right?
You're in Connecticut, so...
Maybe helicopter.
Yeah. Let's get the fastest thing I can get to get there and back on the same day. Guys, I'm going to go talk to Balto. I expect I can be back within 6 hours.
Six?
I will meet you here.
All right. Tell his wife I say hi.
Will do. I don't know if she wants to talk to me, but we'll see. And Lux leaves the room and orders the fastest means of conveyance that he can on his comm.
You can get a driverless car service to a driverless helicopter service.
Great. So he does that.
That would be the fastest way to get to the Brooklyn Archipelago from where you are in Connecticut. It is going to cost you 25,000 new yen.
Wow, that's like a quarter of my money. All right, that's fine.
A black car drives up in front of Lash's house. You get in. It takes you to an airfield. There is a helicopter waiting for you with scrolling letters on the side, Lux Scythe. And you get in, and it takes off.
Nice.
Listeners, hello. It's me, Bijan. I'm here to tell you about what subscribing to our Patreon gets you. First, at all levels, you get access to the Discord. It's fun as hell in there. Lots of goofs. You also get access to Fun Chatty, which is the chat show we make about the show, where we answer your questions, goof around, and occasionally lament that certain politicians are still alive. you get a bunch of other stuff too, like character sheets, our level up episodes, ad-free listening with higher quality sound, and even more. I'm not even lying. There's actually a ton more stuff that I'm not listing here because it would make this way too long. Anyway, if that doesn't appeal to you, well, guess what? There's another way to support the show. We've got merch. It looks cool and it feels good. I have a t-shirt called the Mrs. Egg that I fucking love. Find us on Cotton Bureau. Oh, and one last thing before I go. If you do happen to be a patron, you do get early info about new show merch that we have coming up. I think it's totally worth it. Anyway, this is getting long. Let's get back to the show.
Jen, what is Viv currently doing in the basement of Lash's parents' house?
She is meditating. She is sitting around the cardboard square, trying to concentrate and remember, you know, all this, the feelings, the little puddles of water, the smells. She's just readying herself for going back again eventually.
You feel, while you're meditating, almost like someone tapping you on the shoulder, but from a distance. Like you feel a sort of persistent presence that is trying to like get to you or communicate with you, but is having a hard time doing it. It's like you feel like someone's watching you, but they're far away. You hear Gustavo's voice in the ether.
Hey, boss, I couldn't get in. No dice.
She has her eyes closed, and she is reacting out loud. No dice.
Yeah, I got past the first round defenses, but I couldn't get any closer. The whole place is underneath the big dome of a mana barrier. Very, very strong. Much stronger than I am.
Mana barrier? Oh. Gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, but I hung around outside for a little while, and I think I did figure some things out.
Like what?
Let me show you.
And in your mind, you see a picture of Gustavo. Hello.
Yes.
And he pulls out his point-and-click camera. And from it, he like shakes it, and it turns into a sort of spiritual an old-school slide projector that projects images onto the inside wall of your mind. And you see the exterior of Jast. And you see the giant exterior gate that you personally have once crashed through. And now you see it locked. It is shuttered.
I gathered from context clues that this main entry channel had been dredged for large and long-keeled vessels, implying that there was plenty of traffic going in and out of this place until fairly recently. But judging by the amount of rust and barnacles and wear on the new gate and the locking mechanism that's holding it in place, nothing is going in or out of this place for quite a long time, so it's locked up. But there's plenty of foot traffic. So people go in, people go out, but there's no scrap, there's no boats.
No more scrap.
Man, maybe they pivoted to video.
Entirely possible.
Well, it always goes well. I wish him the best. Anything else I can help you out with?
Let's see. Was anyone patrolling as usual?
Yeah. It was staffed up to the nines, boss. Let me tell you, a lot of people.
So foot traffic, they're not bringing in barges anymore, but people are pulling up individually?
Yeah, the only people coming and going appear to be the guards.
Interesting.
Yeah. No boats, though. Just people walking with their feet underground.
All right, Gustavo, come on back and hang out in the pool.
Oh, my God, thank you so much. Oh, my God, thank you. Oh, my God, thank you so much.
Thump.
Oh, yeah!
Can hear him outside and through the basement wall. We can still hear him.
Does Shelly happen to notice a giant spectral Portuguese man-o-war in her backyard?
Ah! Oh my God! Lish!
Oh, don't worry about that. That's a magic trick.
Oh! Okay!
That's for the big party that we're planning for the orc.
You are not having a party here!
No, we just are testing it out. We're testing it out for the party that we're planning back home.
But Lash, if you wanted to have a party here, that would be okay. Your mother and I understand that it's important for us to support your work.
I'm not having a party.
If you have a party at my house with no notice and not talking to me, you're not my daughter.
Oh, my. Mom, don't say that.
I will say it.
Shelly, what did we say about this in therapy?
I don't know. Therapy was your idea.
What did the therapist say about that in therapy?
That a good relationship is everybody's idea.
That's right.
And then when you make an offering, I should accept it. I'm sorry. I flew off the handle, Lash. I'm sorry. I'm just nervous about how people see the house.
I know. Thank you.
Well, let me know if your clear friend needs a Sprite.
Lux is on the final mile of getting to Balto after a number of hours in a car and then a helicopter heading back to the Brooklyn Archipelago. He is on a jet ski that he has also rented going to Balto Cuddles Island that he has been to before, the same place that he was previously where he kissed Balto's wife. And
yes.
And he approaches Balto's Island. The house has had some upgrades. House looks nice. It's got a new coat of paint. It's a nice, like, heat-resistant sheen to it. It's a kind of dull gray, and there are a bunch of new jet skis out front, and they are all shiny. They are decked to the nines. They have custom paint jobs, and they look expensive. They look great.
Nice. Lux goes up to the door and knocks.
There's no answer after a few seconds, but if you listen closely, you can hear Balto and his wife on the other side talking loudly and animatedly about, it sounds like, some movies that they've just seen.
Lux figures that they are recording, so as you're supposed to do when people are recording in a room, Lux enters.
I still say 27 dresses is too much.
No, it's Tuck. It's Tuck and Shelly.
Shelly again. You walk in, and off to the right, where previously there was an old television screen, an old table that Lash destroyed when she clam flipped, an old dirty couch, all of that has been replaced with a massive video production rig. And it is shoved all the way in the far corner of this room, and it is pointing towards you, but it is arranged in such a way that you don't feel like you are obviously in the background of their shot. And Balto and his wife are sitting in massive gamer chairs, basically. These expensive-looking, levitating, multicolored chairs, and there are ring lights and LED panels and everything just all over the roof, all over the ceiling, all in front of them. They've blacked out the windows on the other side, so no light comes in, and you see these screens in front of them just set up to show what looks like a chat. There is a graph that shows something, maybe like engagement or view numbers, audience. And when you walk in, Balto is saying, "And thank you so much for joining us at Balto Podcast. Next week, we're going to talk about all kinds of things like, what's the best modification for your money for your jet ski? How is it that you can achieve this level of production quality in your work at home? And also, how do you balance your creative life and your home life?" And he turns and he looks at his wife, and she smiles and puts her arm around him. And then he says, "Thank you for watching the Balto Video Podcast. We'll see you next week." Then he leans forward and pushes a button, and he turns around and he says, "Lux! Lux!
Balto! How you been, man?
What the hell are you doing here?"
Well, Balto, I we need to get back into Jast.
Oh, I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, I don't really need you to do anything. I need some information if you have it. You don't work there still, it sounds like.
Oh, well, that's having is a very complicated idea regarding information about Jast Reclamation and Mr. Columnar.
Yeah.
And he turns and he looks at his wife and he says, "Would you mind? You just give me and Lux like a minute. I know you don't want to be involved in any of this stuff." So, and she nods and she looks at you and she says, If you get him in any trouble, I swear to God, I still have that shotgun.
No, I know. I know. I promise that no intention to do that at all.
You don't drag him into anything.
No, he's going to be fine. All right, I promise.
She leaves. She goes in the other room.
And Lux looks at the gamer chair that his wife was sitting in and looks at Balto.
Yeah, it's nice, huh? It's a nice.
Do you mind if I sit down?
It's a new gig. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Lux gets into it, and then some weird stuff happens. It's like it's got all kinds of fancy stuff, and it's like trying to get tighter on him and stuff like that, and he's trying to find a way to turn it off.
Oh, yeah. No. Don't fight it. It's a gyroscope. Okay. It learns your center of gravity, and then
it's all the way up in there now. I don't know. What is the purpose of that? I think it's spreading my butt cheeks. Now it stopped. That's good, but it's still getting tighter around my waist.
It cradles the sacrum. That's an extra feature.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, Balto.
Yeah. So Lux, they fucked up my brain.
What?
I don't know how else to tell you. I don't know what I know. I don't know what I know anymore.
So when you quit, and I imagine you quit.
For the sake of argument. Yeah. I had to go.
You had to go. How long ago was that?
Oh, maybe it was, the drone virus was still going on, so a couple years.
Okay. And how did they fuck up your brain?
It's what they do. If you want to leave, they either kill you or they fuck up your brain.
Oh. And so you chose fuck up your brain.
Well, I didn't want to die. I wanted to make a show. I've been wanting to make this show. I finally had enough money to make a show, so I'm making the show.
It's called the Balto Podcast?
Yes, the Balto. Okay, so it's a great name, right? Uh-huh. Balto Video Podcast. We just talk about stuff that I like.
Yeah.
Lux, you gotta get one of these things.
Yeah, it sounds fun. A lot of shows try to be more specific about like talking about one topic or one thing. It seems like you're kind of going.
That's where they go wrong with the content strategy. They gotta enjoy you as a person and not topics, right? Because if they like you, you could talk about anything. You could talk about your and he looks at you up and down. He goes, your jackets.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, so you don't remember anything from working at JAST at all?
I mean, I know what I did. I know I was the head of security, but yeah. They got rid of most of the other stuff, and there was some collateral damage, too. Oh, boy. I had to relearn the kids' names.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Do you remember inside of JAST at all, like the way it looked, anything down in the area that we couldn't go to or didn't go to?
You know, it's funny. There's two things I remember.
Okay.
I remember this one day I was eating chicken and rice, soy chicken and rice in the cafeteria, and Sully was there. And it's just this like, it's like a memory that's like a photo, you know, it's still like, there's no movement. I just sort of like, I remember the rice and I remember Sully and I remember like a taste, like there's just some sense memory in there. And I just, the other thing I remember is just a glowing ball of flame.
Glowing ball of flame.
I don't know what that is, but my brain tells me that it's JAST somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Huh. Okay. Do you know anybody who works there now that would be willing to help?
No, I mean, I don't mess with that crew. I might, but it's gone.
Yeah. Shit. All right. Did your wife ever visit you at work?
No, she wasn't allowed.
Yeah. And you don't have any video or anything like that that JAST doesn't know about?
Like video or what?
Of JAST. Anything that wouldn't be in your brain, any physical evidence of anything going on at JAST.
I don't know. I never thought about that. I mean, they would have done they did a full audit of my comm, and they deleted a bunch of stuff on there. But, when I started thinking about making the show, I was like, well, I got to learn how to do file management, and part of file management is having backups. And so I started getting really good about making backups. And I don't know, like I don't think they came for the backups. Yeah. So Hold on. Let me look. And he spins in his chair and he starts typing on a keyboard that's in front of him on this like sort of piston arm that retracts back and forth from the desk that he's sitting at. And you see all these files popping up and all these windows opening. And he's like, I think I actually had an early episode of the Balto Video Podcast when I thought like, oh, maybe people like a day in the life of a head of security at an arcane metallurgical facility. And you know, that
this guy was a real OPSEC problem.
Yeah.
I'm with Jeff on this one.
Hold on. That would have been in May of, here it is. And he pushes a button and on the screen expands this video and it starts to play. And it's Balto, basically like, doing a vlog, and you see behind him the huge piles of scrap in Jast. It's a beautiful day. The sky is blue. You can hear the cawing of seagulls. And you hear the crunching of metal and barges in the background. And you see Balto's green face there in the middle of it and his outstretched arm in the frame. And he goes,
show you guys.
You're hearing this through the speakers that are in his room, and he's sitting there and he's beaming. He is smiling ear to ear. He says,
okay, I'm gonna show you. I can't show you too much because it's literally top secret, but I'm gonna show you one of the coolest things that we have here. There is an underground facility where the boss does all kinds of crazy R&D, and we gotta be quiet. It's 3:02 in the afternoon, and that means that there's a guard changeover, so there's only two guards. There's only two instead of six, I know them. I know. It's Sully and Dave, we're pals, so they know that, like, you know, I'm not going to show anything too bad. Here we go.
And he turns, and he goes into a structure of some kind, and it gets dark for a second, and the camera adjusts to the low light, and you start to see that you're like inside a large, like corrugated metal barn, like house thing of some kind. I think you would recognize this as the foundry or like the smelter or something that you saw above ground. And then it gets really bright again as there's a flash of either fire or molten metal or something, and he goes,
they are working on some very hot, literally hot things around here. Okay, so what we do, you go beyond the molten metal, where they keep the molten metal, and you, hey, look at this.
And he turns it around, and he switches the perspective. You know, you're looking outside of this building, and he turns, and now you're looking at the far end of it. And you see, at the very, very far end of that building, past an ocean of red molten metal, there is a silver set of double doors that's lit very dimly by a green light. And there are two guards standing on either side. They are dressed in a way that I think you would identify. They're still dressed like they are Jast's guards. They're wearing like what looks like almost boiled leather, or, you know, they're wearing a gear that looks sort of dirty and old, but they're wearing more of it. And they are holding very expensive looking machine pistols, and they have a full face AR setup. They are wearing a full video mask that you would probably recognize as something that just is like a HUD. It allows them to monitor for movement, for heat, for the presence of other comms, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes,
that's Dave and that's Sully. And they guard this facility that goes, I don't even know how far it goes underground, but I think we're going to catch, like, as the guard change happens, you get it for a second.
And he turns and, like, you know, he sort of like moves the camera a little bit, and then in post it zooms in. You can see it's like it gets grainy, it gets bigger and it gets grainy. The door opens and four guards walk out, and there's a moment where the doors are wide open and you can just see straight in before it closes. There is a bright octarine light coming from the other side of that door. You think you see what looks like a catwalk or a mezzanine that looks over a pit Like, you don't see floor. You see stairs that go down, an empty space, and the color of magic. The doors close.
Wow.
Balto turns to Lux. Hey, I knew that. Just... I mean, I doubt I have anything else.
Okay. Balto, you mind if I borrow this tape?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I already did. I haven't recorded in my comm, sorry.
Okay.
But I won't share it with anyone, Balto, I promise.
Well, but you know about a data security. It's not about whether you are actively sharing it, it's whether other people are actively trying to take. So Lux, I would appreciate it if you could delete that.
I will. I just have to show it to a couple people tonight, and then I will delete it.
Okay, are any of those people Mr. Jast Kalimnar?
None of them are Mr. Jast Kalimnar. Okay, Balto, well, I'm glad things have turned around for you and that you're out of that place. Things seem to be going great for you, so... You know, I owe you a big one, so, you know, call me if you you ever need anything, all right?
Okay, tell you what, can I call in my favor right now?
Yeah.
Do not do anything with that video that will get me or my family killed.
No, I understand. They just, I do mean that I will delete it as soon as my friends see it and we talk about what's on the tape.
Yeah, actually, you know what? And then he types some buttons, he types some keys on his keyboard, and you see a deleting progress bar. He's like, yeah, I don't need, I'm out of this life, right? I'm a professional content creator now.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what, Jast, to catch you with that video, and I will get rid of mine very soon.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're going live again in about 15 minutes, so Lux, okay. It was great to see you. Please tell everybody we said hello, please don't ever come to my house again.
all right, I won't unless I'm invited, all right?
Okay, all right.
And Lux bids him adieu and goes and gets on his jet ski to head back to Connecticut.
Back in Connecticut, a positively enormous matte black, half bus sized SUV is brought in front of Lash's parents' house on the back of a wrecker and is slowly lowered into the middle of the front lawn. The men who get out and operate the controls on the wrecker are large, sweaty, and both of them have handguns attached to their hips. Those of you who are still in the house, you know, if you're upstairs, if you're in the kitchen, if you're in the front room, you look out the front window, these guys are talking to Tuck. Tuck is clearly explaining something to them. Tuck definitely is holding himself differently.
Wow.
In the midst of these people. He's moving a little bit more. He's pointing. He's just got a different attitude about him. There's a little bit of a disagreement. Their voice is raised. You can't really tell what they're saying. Tuck waves them off. They get in the wrecker after the car has been deposited and they leave. Tuck turns back towards the house, takes his glasses out from his shirt on his collar, puts them on his face, starts walking towards the front door. I don't know how to explain in our terms what this car looks like, other than to say it looks like someone sort of like extruded an SUV and then just like chopped off the end of it. Almost like if a Chevy Suburban was crossed with like a 15-passenger van. Bijan / TK, what were the final modifications that TK added to the design of this vehicle? And I'm going to limit you to two.
No!
Just two? No!
I'm going to... Okay, hold on.
Mike,
let me roll.
Wait,
can he pay
money
for it? Like,
If you want to pay for it, sure.
That's going to be tough.
That was fast.
Right. Yeah.
Whoa, look at this thing.
Yeah, you guys, you see this? This is what brand of car is this, Tuck? I don't recognize the logo.
It's actually a Ford.
Oh shit, there's still Fords?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they went out of business for a little while. Then they got bought by Tesla. But then, you know, Tesla got bought by Boeing, and then Boeing got bought by As Technology. And they went through this big thing of, you know, they just wanted to resurrect the old brands. And so, yeah, they brought Ford back up probably about 12 years ago.
Oh, amazing. I missed that entirely.
Yeah. It's like the logo's weird because it's a combination of all of the.
Yeah, I see that. So, that actually makes more sense now. The Valkyrie module. Actually, Lux, I got this one for you. Well, I know you're not here, but let me give him a call, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He's mid-jet ski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lux,
like
your comm
rings.
DJ
Khaled on a jet ski on his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, Lux, can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's kind of loud. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. You got time to do a little video? I want to show you what I got. I got you a gift.
Yeah. For me?
Kind of. It's for all of us.
Lux turns on his video, and I would like to emphasize that he is just in this precise moment supremely hot.
Oh, like hot.
Yeah, like Lux is canonically a very attractive man.
Right.
And Lux is now windswept on a jet ski out at sea.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you have just basically turned on, like, a model photo shoot.
Blush with intelligence.
Yes. Oh, whoa. All right, Lux. All right. Okay, man.
Down.
Anyway, check this shit out.
Lux is running his fingers through his hair.
I'm down with what, man?
I just like I you know, dude, just keep doing what you're doing, man. We appreciate it here. You know, the crew of the Mrs. Egg. Anyway, check this out. And TK like scurries into the vehicle, into the back. And he says Valkyrie module. You know what this is?
No.
It's like a fucking mobile ER, dude.
Whoa.
Oh my god.
I keep using your med kits, and I figured, you know, I should give back.
They made it. I worked on an early version of that module. Whoa.
And Lux is like looking through some of the tools and equipment that he actually helped in his early days in biotechnology and medicine, helped create some of the very gizmos that are in the Valkyrie module. It's very different than when Lux worked on it very briefly because he got into some other areas of work. But he is very, very impressed that this is all in full scale production and looks great and is so cool. Lux is like,
whoa. TK, where the hell did you get that?
Now that you have to ask Tuck about. I have no fucking idea, but I do know it's a Ford.
Tuck got this for you?
Yeah.
In a day?
Yeah, my dad's a car salesman.
Car salesmen don't have this module.
I don't know. It's for a car.
Okay, anyway, but I figured I'm giving them the tour, and, you know, I figured you'd want to see that. The rest of the stuff, you know, we could talk about when you're back, but...
Okay, that's so cool. Does this have legs?
You know, it doesn't. That was a little too painful.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I didn't.
Sorry to bring him up. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
All right.
Hey, TK, what does this do?
And TK's like, wait, what are you pointing at? I don't.
What am I pointing at?
Oh, the big red button that you shouldn't push? No, this is that's the button that you should not push. Don't push it.
Oh, okay. Why? What happens if I do?
It's a secret. That's the special.
Oh.
That's gonna work.
It's not a get out of jail free card, but it's like a get away from jail better card.
I love that.
Yeah, but you know, Lash, I did want to do something for you as well. And I know you were liking those drones. You can do the rigger stuff. So I had them install a mini drone rack. Not a lot. You use micro drones, but, you know, little guys.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, this one can punch.
I figured you could probably play around with them. I don't know. They might be useful. Oh, and Viv, for you.
For me?
You see how the interior is extremely armored.
Uh-huh.
That's so you don't get shot again.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You're very welcome. Also, I got them to do a nice thing where there's like armored ducts, I think is what they call it. I don't know, but you can, if you have a gun, you can point it out, little duct, and shoot and not get shot because the car is armored.
Interesting.
Yeah, like a cat, you know, those castles like way back in the day, you have like, you could shoot arrows through the little holes in the top. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I see. And Viv is looking at the interior and sort of marveling at how large it is. Wouldn't you say this is a little conspicuous?
Well, I was not sure if Tuck was going to be able to do this, but it does have a chameleon thing with the fucking skin. Like, you can make it look like what you want it to look like.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Tuck clicks something on like a fob that he's holding, and the massive vehicle in front of you just turns into basically like a shimmery, translucent form.
And the door is open and we can still see TK.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, it's that chameleon coating. That was not cheap. I don't want to talk about how expensive this is going to be. And Tuck, we are not going to talk about it until after we're done here.
Tuck presses the button again and the shimmer turns off. And it looks as if the car has been wrapped in like an advertising wrap. And it says, the Committee for Orc Affairs, up with orcs. And there's photos of like orcs jumping over hurdles and climbing mountains and kissing and going on picnics.
The boys, you know, graphic design is their passion. And so when I asked them if they could just put a little extra on, they got really excited.
Yeah. And the only last thing I got was a pretty standard spoof chip. So, you know, if the cops are looking for us, they don't find us.
Yeah, that one, I was surprised that you needed that for, but I imagine that has something to do with the parade that Shelly was talking about.
Orc protests. They tag everyone and we don't want to be, I mean, look, obviously if we're trying to get some of our orcish leaders out, we want to not be found until later. You know, we want to be able to fly through the streets and not be stopped by, you know, any automated, you know, who runs the city now? Is the what cop gang is that? You know, Lone Star,
Knight Errant,
Lone Star or Knight Errant sheriffs after us.
If you are saying this directly to Tuck, he is purposefully giving you nothing.
Yeah, but you understand, protecting the important assets.
Yeah, it's kind of our job. Interesting. Okay, sure.
And Viv puts a hand on Lash.
I did ask them for a turret, but I don't see it, so I guess that was a little too far.
No, that one, yeah, that's
no
a special order
either.
Item.
Yeah, I know.
No,
it was a bit of a,
that's
bit of an
yeah
ask.
Hard to get in suburban Connecticut.
Yeah, well, you know, this is great though. This is perfect.
And listen, Dad, I have a really good surprise for you.
For me?
Yeah, you
no,
know
Lash,
how
I'm your dad. I'm supposed to get you things.
Well, you know how I refuse to learn to drive.
I do, yeah. Oh boy, I remember having to program all the extra safety routines into the old cars so that you could be extra safe with no drive. I know your friends didn't want your dad in the car talking up a storm on the way to the mall.
Yeah. Well, I can drive now.
What?
Yeah. Turns out I just had to do it a couple times.
I don't understand. Who taught you? Did you? I just did it.
I just kind of, you know, we on our boat, I just kind of played around with some stuff. And now I can drive a boat. I assume I can drive a car probably,
too. It's different, Lash. It's different.
Probably a helicopter. I could probably drive a plane at this point.
You can drive or fly whatever you want in life.
Thank you, Mom.
You're only what you believe. You look up and she's leaning out of a window on the second floor of the house.
She's got curlers in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tuck, I did also want to ask, did you get the nano maintenance thing? I know it's a big one. Did they get that?
Tuck is not answering you. It's like he can't hear you because Lash has just said she has learned how to drive. And he looks like he's on the verge of tears. And he's just sort of like stumbling forward and he reaches out and he just goes to hug Lash. And he goes, I am so proud of you. And she is massive. She is like looming over him as he like yeah, basically like hugs her midsection. And then he like catches himself. He goes, wait, what? The what? The nano? The
maintenance.
Who?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, to even out those dings. If you ding your car, you know, you ding it.
Oh, the boys were able to put on an extra hard exterior shell, but they were out of the nanos. No more bots in the shell.
You know what? That's fine. This is more than enough. And it submerges, yes?
Yes, fully submersible.
That was the one thing we needed.
You know, you got to make sure you keep those windows up.
Okay. But yeah, you know, I wanted to do something nice for you know, we've had a lot of troubles, and I figured, what if a new car fixes all of it?
But not too many troubles, Dad.
We're doing
really, really good.
Yeah, a lot of troubles with the orc.
Have you
committee.
Not seen? Are you not a politically aware person? Do you know the situation of orcs in this country?
Well, you know, post drone virus was hard for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, a lot of readjustment out there in the world after the drone virus. He's saying that to no one in particular.
And TK's walks up to him and shakes his hand very firmly. Says, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good handshake. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be able to help Lash and her friends. And, you know, like I said, we consider this an extended loan. When you're done with it, you just bring it back whenever that is.
Okay.
And we'll figure out, you know, don't worry about how much it's going to cost yet.
Wow.
Thanks, Dad.
I have a feeling we'll be in touch about what we can do for you in the future.
I look forward to that. I think that, you know, I like I said, I like you guys a lot.
Lux, are you still on this call?
What's that?
Lux has his shirt off right now.
Yeah. I was just about to say, Lux is shirtless on a jet ski in the Brooklyn Archipelago, listening to Korean doo-wop Revival as loud as it can play through the speakers of...
It's winter, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it matters if you're hot.
Yeah. He's just always steaming. Viv has her shoes off. She's in the backyard again. And she reaches out to Gustavo. Could you give me a little hand?
Right now, I'm kind of busy. And we see that Gustavo is in the pool with Shelly. And he has used one of his services, to turn the pool into a hot tub. And they are drinking margaritas out of a blender that she has brought and put by the pool. And he's showing her a slideshow. Oh, my God. You've been everywhere. That's right. And this is the pelagic zone.
You have many hands.
Yeah, his tentacles are doing a bunch of different things. He's also barbecuing on the side of the pool with some of his other tentacles. Now, you're right, Bosch. Tell me what you want. What can I do for you?
Oh, just help me float a little bit. I just need a little back support.
Oh, we're projecting, are we?
Mm-hmm.
OMW.
Yeah, so Viv just...
Is that
just...
Oh My Water?
That's On My Way.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Oh My Water!
Like, because you worship water? I don't know. Oh My Water.
Oh My Water! Gustavo appears right next to you.
Oh, I just need you to hold me up. I'm not really good at floating as I used to be.
I can do.
Viv is floating on her back. She kind of moves the water around her and closes her eyes. And you can sort of see mist rising out of the pool. And Shelly is all up in it. And Viv actually projects, sort of visually heading to the city, and as if she's coming up the elevator in Irina's shop.
You sense Irina sensing you. You feel perceived in the astral plane, sort of infinite, magical, multicolored expanse in which you see these brief outlines, wisps of the physical world passing in and out of your perception, depending upon where you are focusing. Do you see, you're looking for her, so you see Irina more clearly, and she feels looked for, she feels sought after, and her image becomes less and less diaphanous, more and more, ironically, material in the astral plane. She is joining you. And she shows up and she's exactly how you remember. It's been a couple years, but, you know, with the exception of she's got a new haircut. It's all shaved on one side and it's bright red. She's wearing a lot more jewelry, and she was wearing a lot back then. So, you know, it's like really only increased. The collection of necklaces and rings has grown. But even in the astral plane, she's in her rolling robot. She's in her assistive device. She comes, she appears, she sees you, and she says, "Oh, Vivian, mi gente."
"I'm sorry for the intrusion, my seeker, my oracle friend."
"I am more than honored to see you."
"I know it's been a long time."
"I think it could be longer, to be honest."
"But do you remember when we last spoke? We mentioned the Seven."
"Oh, yeah, well, we did a Bug Ghost. But before that, yeah, you mentioned you were looking for people, the Seven. I said I would search."
"And have you found anything?"
I do not like to do this. And I almost never do this. The search was difficult and dangerous. To tell you, I need to charge you."
"That's fine with me."
"Okay. 50,000 new yen?"
"50,000.
Let me show you." Her shop materializes around you. And it goes from the diaphanous location in the astral plane to something much more physical feeling where you are. And you see that the cage around the elevator is new. It used to be this old sort of like welded together, hacked together metal thing. Now it's like serious, double reinforced, lead, steel, like high torque controllable doors. And there are guns on the inside of it. And you look closer and you start to see cameras sort of come into view. And you get this image sort of like coalescing in your mind of the security system for the elevator has been completely redone. She says, I began to ask who these people could be, and I thought it best to be cautious based upon what I learned. So I overhauled the shop's security system, and, you know, nothing happened yet. Could be I was worried and shouldn't have been. Could be what I did worked. But I asked for you, because you asked, and so she's obviously uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes, of course. I will pay for your troubles.
You feel your calm, distant, vibrate. You know that there's a communication has happened.
It's on the side of the pool.
Yeah. Okay. It is what I learned. The Seven is a group of people who control parts of the city. They have a lot of power in infrastructure. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't really understand. What I know is magic.
And there's a lot of it.
There is so much, and so much that is very powerful. They worship what you might know as old gods. This is a trope that exists for a long time. And it is often meant to sound scary. It is like Old Testament is angry, vengeful God. New Testament, happy, forgiving God. Mm-hmm. You say old God, you channel Old Testament. People think rage, vengeful, apocalypse.
Blood.
Yeah, flood, fire. This is not half of what these people worship. Not a quarter. I can't know what they know. I have been doing this for a very long time. What they know is beyond me. I learned that though they are called the Seven, there's five of them.
Oh.
Hmm.
And they have projects. She looks confused, like she doesn't know the right word. They engage in research. They do magic research. Again, I don't know why. Towards what end, I don't know. They work with Jast, you man, in the sea with the rust.
Mm-hmm.
He do something for them. Something big.
Something that has to do with Orichalcum?
Oh, that I don't know, but I know that they do Orichalcum. They have development in this area. You know this man, Loma?
Yes, I was going to bring that up with you. Your name appeared in a book.
Yes, I buy a book from him many years ago. He come highly recommended for the shop. When I hire him, I have no idea about this, the Seven, who he work for. But I learn now in search about this. He is a bad man.
He was a bad man.
Okay. This explains a lot. We are like in the city. We are like flies. Stuck in the web. They are the web. They are not the spider. They are the web.
She gets a chill remembering the bug ghost. I get your meaning. Before I go, do you have anything that could crack a very big mana barrier?
Irina raises her eyebrows. Lash, can I talk to you for a sec?
Yeah, sure.
Tuck climbs up the small set of stairs that eject from the side of the car for him to be able to get into the cab, and he pats the passenger seat on the other side.
Okay. She gets into the car.
He pushes a series of buttons on the dash and all the doors close, and he pushes another series of buttons on the dash and like obnoxious talk radio starts to play. He takes out his comm and he turns it off. And the House Senate and he says, hopes to finalize a couple Lash, I know you guys don't work on the committee.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Good question.
What are you doing?
It's nothing, really. We're just, you know, doing what anyone does
Lash,
in the city when they're young and they're...
Lash.
And it's kind of difficult to break into any of the megacorps, so, you know, you just do what you have to do. All my friends are doing... we're fine. I swear, we're safe.
I won't tell your mother. I won't tell your aunts. Your father can keep a secret. But I gotta know in case there's something that I can do to help you. What are you doing?
Well, I don't want to tell you too much. Because also, to be totally honest, I don't want to put you and Mom in danger. But we're up against some... big threats, and there's something going on in the city that involves the police, it involves Evo, the healthcare corp, and
Evo, and the police?
Yeah,
And it's not good. There's some people behind it that are really powerful, and let's just say they do know who we are and that we're looking to figure out exactly what they're doing. But I swear I'm being safe. Viv only got shot twice.
And she like waves. Can't hear anything. She's waving from outside.
Yeah, Tuck turns around inside the cab of the car to look at Viv, and she's just there staring off into space. And he turns back to Lash, and he looks sort of aghast. Does this have to do with that, the police changing? Yeah. I don't, you know, we moved when we had you, and so we don't really keep up with the New York politics anymore, but I saw in the news that there was a new contract for some, new, like, Ares is doing the policing in New York City now. Is this that?
It involves that, but a lot more, and I can't get into it, but listen, if for any reason you don't hear from me for a while, I'm going to give you someone that you can call up. A contact.
Okay.
And maybe they'll have some more information. But please don't use it unless you don't hear from me. Don't use it if you don't hear from me for a week, okay? Because if I gave this to Mom, she'd be calling this contact like every week. But I mean like a year.
Tuck's phone dings when you send it and he goes, does he not have a last name?
Well, I assume that he does, but I don't know it. That's for sure.
Yuri. Where do you meet someone named Yuri?
Don't call them unless I'm gone for a long time.
Why in this contact are there little kissy lips around the name Hector in the notes section?
No reason.
Lash, you've always been a very idealistic kid, and you've always been very headstrong, and so I know I'm not going to talk you out of this. Frankly, I don't want to. It sounds like it's important to you. I'm not going to tell your mother. I'm definitely not going to talk to your mother.
Thank
I'm not going to tell her anything about this. Lash, I don't deal cars.
What?
I'm not a car dealer.
But you got us this car. Did you retire?
I know what it's like to go up against these people. And they aren't going to let you win.
Yeah.
You gotta just when you realize this is bigger than you and bigger than your friends, bigger than all of you put together, just promise me you'll walk away.
I promise.
Okay. Love you, kiddo.
Love you. And I knew you weren't a car salesman.
Yeah, but you couldn't admit it to yourself, could you?
Oh. I love you. Did I already say that?
Okay, don't get hurt. All right. Okay. All right. He gets out of the car and leaves.
Wow, that's a cool speaker system. Thanks, Dad.
You are now leaving Fun City. Thanks for listening. If you want to support the show and get access to a huge back catalog of amazing bonus content, patron only, in-universe merch, and access to our Discord, you can head on over to patreon.com/FunCityVentures. And of course, thanks to all of our current patrons for help keeping this ship afloat.
Hi, I'm Bijan Steven, and you can find me online at Bijan Steven, BijanStephen, on Twitter and Twitch. On Instagram, I'm Bijan Cakes, BijanCakes.
I'm Jen De La Vega. I play Vivian Lakewood, and you can find me online at Randwitches.
Hey, this is Nick Gersio. I play Luxythe, and you can find me online at ngersio, G-U-E-R-C-I-O, on Instagram, and at Nicholas Gersio on Twitter.
I'm Shannon Odell. I play Lash Goodbog, and you can find me on social media at Shodell, at S-H-O-D-E-L-L.
I am Taylor Moore, and I play all the bad guys, I think. Is that how it works? It's not clear. You can follow me online at taylor.biz.
And my name is Mike Rugnetta. I am your GM. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube at Mike Rugnetta. You can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at Fun City Ventures. This episode of Fun City was recorded at various locations in Brooklyn, New York, and Los Angeles, California. It was edited by Sam Grant and produced and sound designed by me, Mike Rugnetta. Pixel Riffs can get you a car. Sure. Sure. You need a car? All right. Okay. Fun City's music is by Sam Tyndall, with tracks by Will Savino and Borrow Bound. Our art is by Tess Stone. Our Discord mods are Olivia Goulin, Kelly McHugh, and Kit Pulliam. And the voice of Artemis is Molly Templeton.